July 2017. Rafael Pedroso and his family land at Heathrow Airport, having travelled from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Like many other London-bound holidaymakers, the Pedrosos have a full itinerary of the sites they wish to see. Buckingham Palace, Madame Tussauds, taking in a West End show. But none of these things sit at the top of their list. There is one place and one place only for their trip to begin. And so immediately after checking into their hotel, Rafael and his family are in a taxi shooting down the A3. Destination, Tolworth. On the outskirts of this unremarkable suburb is an unremarkable sports ground. Capacity of 2,000, with just the 161 seats. King George's Field is hidden away, down a slip road off said A3. On the day of the Pedrosos' visit to King George's, there was no match day, not even a training session. This Brazilian family, having travelled 6,000 miles to be in the UK, have immediately set course for a small non-league football ground that is today sitting entirely empty. But come Saturday, it comes alive, for it is the home of Corinthian Casuals FC, of the Bostic League South Division in the 8th tier of English football. Why would inhabitants of the world's most successful football nation make a pilgrimage to a team whose league is so low one struggles to get live scores on match day? Over the coming season, we are going to unravel this mystery through telling the fascinating story of Corinthian Casuals. We will speak to players, supporters, coaches.
I obviously saw the odds for winning the league this year and we're joint second, which in some ways is absolutely scandalous.
Historians, writers, commentators.
I had to go up to him and say, I've been offered this job in television. If he'd have said no, look, I don't know what I'd have done, but he didn't. He went, good luck, son.
General eccentrics associated with the club.
Always been a bit of a non-league anorak, you know, enthusiast.
All while following their fortunes in this, the 2017-18 season.
Fly up, Corinth! Corinth, fly up!
How is it they still hold the record for Manchester United's biggest defeat and were once considered the game's first global superstars? What is their connection with Real Madrid? And why on earth are they so loved by the Pedrosos and many others in Brazil? Why would one shun London's most spectacular landmarks for the less salubrious sights of Tolworth Tower? What links Tolworth Broadway to Brazil? Hello, listener. Welcome to Broadway to Brazil, the first podcast to follow the fortunes and tell the story of legendary non-league football side Corinthian Casuals. I'm Yarrick Zaba, and I'll be your host over the 2017-18 season, as me and a team of devotees will be speaking to everyone at the heart of this extraordinary club to establish just what it is that makes them tick. At this stage, you are probably wondering why the Corinthian Casuals, or perhaps if you're not so au fait with non-league football, who are the Corinthian Casuals, and is there really enough mileage in a small amateur football team to fill an entire podcast series? Well, yes, quite frankly, for the Casuals are like few other clubs on the planet. Indeed, being one of the first clubs to take the game outside of Europe, the very origins of some of the planet's other clubs can be directly traced to the history of the original Corinthian FC. At the time of recording, were founded 135 years ago in September 1882. They merged with the Casuals FC in 1939 to create Corinthian Casuals. Fiercely committed to an amateur ethos since Corinthian FC's original formation, this club has made punching above its weight a trademark habit. A few facts just to tease you in. Manchester United visited Corinthian FC in 1904, then playing in later East London, and lost 11-3. It remains the biggest ever Man United defeat on record. Corinthian FC remain the only side to have ever provided the entire starting XI for an England match. And legendary Brazilian footballer Socrates once lined up for the club. For me personally, they are also, as it turns out, my local club. As a football fan and resident of Surbiton just down the road, and someone who once lived a 10-minute walk away from Casuals' King George's Field, unbeknown to me at the time, I was particularly surprised when the club's existence and its rich, illustrious history was first brought to my attention. Up until this point, Tolworth was, to me, its proximity to the A3. It was the local station Radio Jackie. It was quiet, anonymous suburbia, Tolworth Broadway, Tolworth Tower, and the Toby Jug, the since-closed-down music venue that saw David Bowie first launch his Ziggy Stardust persona in 1972. I had no idea that a couple of minutes down the road from the Toby Jugs' former site, as one peeled off the southerly-bound side of the A3 onto Hookrise South, and then disappeared down what appears to be a quiet residential road, one finds oneself at the home of legendary sporting folklore. And judging from my matchday trip, in which I popped into some of the businesses and chatted to some of the men and women of Tolworth Broadway, the commercial centre of Tolworth life, the same applied to more than a few of the locals in town. Do you mind just asking, have you heard of the local football team here?
No, Fred.
You've never heard of the Corinthian Casuals?
Nope.
Okay, no problem at all, no problem, that's all I needed to know.
Okay.
Right, do you live in Tolworth?
Surbiton,
right. Do you know about the local football team around here?
No.
Can say, have you ever heard of them, the Corinthian Casuals?
No,
never heard of them. We're just finding out what people know about them, but in your case, clearly, nothing.
No, nothing.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Excuse me, lads. We're just recording a documentary about Tolworth, the local area. Do you live around here? Are you locals?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah? I mean, real simple. Do you support the local football team? Do you know who they are?
The Corinthian Casuals.
Yeah. Are you fans?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah? Do you go up and see them at all? Or?
No.
Do you know who they're playing today?
No idea.
It's Whiteleaf at home. Do you know any of the players or any, you know?
Some go to my school, but like...
Some go to your school, right. But have you been to see them before?
No.
Fair enough. All right, cheers, lads. Thank you.
Cheers.
So we've chatted to a few of the locals, but we want to go into a few of the shops, a few of the businesses, find out what the business holders think of the local football team. So it's about the local football team. Yeah, the Corinthian Casuals, do you know them?
No.
They play just around the corner in here in Tolworth. Are you from around here?
I'm not from here, no. I live in Claygate.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, no, the Casuals, they're just around the corner. Yeah, it's a match day today, actually. They're playing Whiteleaf at home.
Right.
But you never see Corinthian Casual fans around here?
I have no idea.
No?
Thank God I asked about it. Yeah, what is it about?
Yeah.
Been embarrassing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've never heard of
it? Is there any football team here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now we're going to try the local calf. First question, do you know about the local football team, Corinthian Casuals?
Yeah, I used to play for them.
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid, anyway.
Yeah, what were the youth teams?
Yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah, do you ever go up and see them these days?
Nah, not anymore. I'm not into football anymore, I play golf.
Ah, fair enough.
And this is why I'm dressed like this.
Do you know any Corinthian Casuals fans?
No.
Let's stop on our tour of the businesses, the local barbers. Just asking a few locals about the local area. We're actually doing it about the local football team. Do you know them?
Okay, no, I don't really know.
You don't know the Corinthian Casuals?
No.
What better place than the local pub, the Broadway Bar and Cafe? We've spotted a couple of locals out there. Let's have a chat to them now. Would you mind answering just a couple of questions for us?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah, like real quick.
Do
you support the Corinthian Casuals?
Yes.
We got them.
No, I don't support them. My grandson plays for them.
Your grandson plays for them?
Yeah.
Is he playing today?
No, it's a big boy today, but he plays on Sundays.
Oh, right, okay.
He does that. But he's in there and then scouts come down and watch him. There's a guy in there.
He's coming out
today to watch them.
Right, okay.
Corinthian Casuals, yeah. My sons used to play for them.
You're
Corinthian Casuals fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you going today?
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Confident?
Top of the league, eh? What league are
they? They're in the top two, I think.
It might be a bit dodgy, won't it?
Hopefully we might do it. Do you know many other casuals
fans? Yeah, about 40, 50 of us called behind a goal singing.
Yeah.
All flags up and all that.
Yeah. How long have you been supporting?
About 3 years now. I've been barred a couple of times, yeah.
You've been barred from the bar.
A lot of camaraderie, have you?
So, very few supporters, but plenty of locals aware of the club through knowing someone on its books. Now, contrast this apparent lack of local support with the story of Rafael Pedroso, whose visit to King George's Field is alluded to in the show's introduction. To explain a bit of context further, Rafael and his family are primarily fans of sports club Corinthians Paulista, based in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Corinthians Paulista are 6 times national champions of Brazil, 1 time champions of South America, and have even been the world champions on 2 occasions, winning the FIFA Club World Championship in 2000 and again in 2012. And, as you may have worked out, these global giants are so named because of the original English Corinthian FC, who toured South America in 1910 and inspired a group of railway workers to set up Brazil's first ever working class club. Rafael and his family's trip to the Corinthian Casuals this summer was in fact a pilgrimage, and when they turned up at what normally would have been an entirely empty ground, club committee member and volunteer John Forrest happened to be there, giving the stadium a lick of paint. As we were watching Casuals play at home, I spoke to John on the sidelines about this day.
My name's John Forrest. I'm on the committee here at Corinthian Casuals. So yeah, we get a lot of Brazilians coming to visit, which is wonderful. Either Corinthian Paulista fans who perhaps live in London or people who are on holiday, but they often make this pilgrimage down here to see the ground, and it's a wonderful thing. When the Pedrosos came, it was in the middle of summer, in the middle of the week, and I just happened to be up here doing some painting and taking an afternoon off work.
It was only you, was it?
Yeah, I was here by myself, just painting away, enjoying the sunshine, and I noticed 3 people had just sort of walked in. I'd left the gates open, as you do, and sure enough, they were Brazilians as well. Absolutely lovely people, and they had... According to what Rafael told me, I mean, they'd really just arrived the night before, and this was the first thing they wanted to do, was to come down here and see the ground, because they were all devout Corinthians Paulista fans.
Which in turn makes them Corinthian fans.
Which makes them part of our great international family, yes. The brothers in football, as we say.
And so if you hadn't have been here, given the ground a lick of paint, would they have just come to a locked gate, essentially?
Yeah, essentially. And it does make you wonder how many people might
show do
up
that. Yeah,
during the week, perhaps hoping there'll be somebody here or staff or whatever. And of course, you don't have that here. It's all run by volunteers. You'll have Brian Adamson up here a couple of times a week cutting the grass. But aside from that, there's nobody here.
There's probably a whole litany of Brazilians who have turned up and have met no one. And the Pedrosos are actually the lucky ones. They
lucked out that day. It was a beautiful day. I happened to be here. So I showed them around. They took a lot of photographs. I took some of them in front of the stand and the sign as you come in and what have you. Mm-hmm. I also happened to have the keys for the club shop. So they were delighted with that. So they were able to buy some souvenirs. And
you opened the megastore especially for them.
I opened the megastore especially for them. I threw in a few freebies as well, because I think anybody who arrives in London and hops in an Uber and comes down the A3 15 miles to Tolworth at least deserves a gift. You know?
Yeah.
But wonderful people. And, you know, we've kept in touch since, as we often try to do with people who come down here, because it is a family, and it's really touching that they would take so much time to come down here to, I suppose, for want of a better word, pay homage to the club that gave birth to their club.
Yep.
It's a unique and beautiful thing, and it's something wonderful to be a part of.
Of course, I then had to catch up with the man himself. Speaking from his home in Brazil, Rafael explained to me just why visiting the home of the Corinthian Casuals was of such importance to him when he and his family touched down in the UK.
It genuinely was the first thing you did, wasn't it? You didn't go to Buckingham Palace or
exactly.
you came straight to Tolworth.
I didn't go to the London Eye, no Big Ben. No, first thing we got there in the evening, and then first thing in the morning we got an Uber straight to King George's Field. That was what we did, and then after going there, talking to him, we can we can go somewhere else. But that was the first thing, first place that we visited, because we wanted to, we've heard some stories about Corinthian history, and we are totally passionate about Corinthians Paulista in Brazil. My whole family supports Corinthians. My dad, my uncle, my mom. I used to go to the games when I was a little boy, and I always go to, I always try to go to the stadium to support Corinthians. So it was truly the first thing that we, the first place that we wanted to be, was to visit Corinthian Casuals, King George Field, to know more about the history. We've read some of the of Corinthian history in books, but we wanted to, in books and websites, but we wanted to see, we wanted to really learn more about it. And it was amazing how you were welcomed by John, how he explained it, how he tell all the story about Corinthian, and how it truly has everything to do with Corinthian Paulista. It was great to see the origin of Corinthian Paulista, where they came from. And so it was truly the first place that we wanted to, that we wanted to be there.
And yes. King George's Field must be quite different to the Corinthians Paulista Stadium. Sorry, I don't know the name of the stadium, but it must be quite different.
Yes, the name is Arena Corinthians.
Right. Now,
it was built a few years ago for the World Cup.
And a little bit bigger than King George's Field.
Yes, a little bit bigger. But it was great to see, no matter the size, and no matter the structure, no matter the staffing, it's the same passion. That was something that it's totally the same. The passion is, we're all passionate about Corinthian. No matter Corinthian Casual, Corinthian Paulista, we're all passionate, truly passionate about it.
And as I later quizzed Raphael on all the glory he has experienced with Corinthians Paulista, it would seem that this shared passion of ours might also translate into sharing trophies.
In your years of supporting Corinthians Paulista, I mean, what have you seen them win? They've won the Brazilian National Championship, have they?
Yeah, the years that I'm supporting, Corinthians won four Brazilian championships, won the Libertadores, which is the sort of our champion league, the South American, two World Cups, one in 2000 and the other one 2012, which first they won, Corinthians won Libertadores and then played against Chelsea in Japan and beat it Chelsea 1-0. And if you think from the years that I've been supporting, Corinthians Paulista has been the club that most won the Brazilian championship. I believe we're five since I'm supporting. The first one I remember is 1998, which I've been to the stadium. I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been since 19th from now, Corinthians has been one of the most winning clubs in Brazil. For the Brazilian championship, for sure, it was.
Well, Raphael, this is why I like this idea that we are all the same Corinthians, because that means those trophies are also our trophies as well.
Exactly. That's how we feel.
Because Corinthian Casuals are not going to be the champions of England anytime soon, I don't think. So we'll take the champions of Brazil, and we'll put that on our honors list.
Yes, for sure. That's, you should. We owe you all of that, because if it wasn't for Corinthian, if it wasn't for Corinthian FC, if it wasn't for Casuals, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't even exist. So we own that for you.
So there you have it. Perhaps some of the people of Tolworth are not all that familiar with this club on their collective doorstep, but as it transpires, they are in fact two times world champions, in honorary terms at least. In any case, Raphael is far from alone. When I first went to watch the Casuals, a pre-season friendly against Bristol Rovers this summer, a comfortable 3-1 win against the team five leagues above, as it happens, the first thing I saw outside the gates were Brazilians posing for photos in front of the ground. Brazilian flags fly around the pitch on match day, while banners in Portuguese, many donated by Brazilian Paulista fans, are unfurled behind the goals. It's an extraordinary situation, in which so many of the people who live in the club's vicinity have no clue as to its existence, while thousands of others on the other side of the Atlantic hold the club in the highest possible regard. And we will, of course, be returning to this Brazilian connection in much greater detail over the course of the Broadway to Brazil series. But in the meantime, there's a football season underway. And Corinth are not just remarkable in the past, they are pretty remarkable in the present. The aforementioned devotion to amateurism is not an empty platitude. It is a stated commitment to never run the club for any reason other than the love of the game. In other words, no financial incentives for players, staff, committee members, or even podcast production teams. As manager James Bracken testifies, having no budget whatsoever, at a level in which most other clubs are at least semi-professional, poses some sizable challenges. Having had an enormously successful season last year in 2016-17, Bracken lost 9 of his players to rival clubs offering salaried contracts, many at the same level. Our frontline reporter, Tony Banks, chatted to James about some of the unique challenges of his job and how he has lost last season's 40-goal striker, Sean Okoji, to Football League side Aldershot Town.
So in terms of the summer, the end of last season, obviously disappointment with the playoffs.
Yes.
And then I know, and I've done a bit of... I think there's, what, half a dozen of that team have gone? Nine have gone.
Nine.
That's difficult, isn't it?
It's sure. Impossible.
Yeah.
It's not difficult, it's impossible.
Right.
Any team. You take Hastings, you take Greenwich, take 9 of their best players,
uh-huh,
and they've got a budget to replace them.
Yeah.
You still wouldn't tip them to do well the following season.
No.
And obviously we have no budget to replace anybody. But everyone here, I've got no problems with any of the boys that have left. I'll only judge them on what they do when they go out there in a shirt for us.
Mm.
They haven't gone at bad times. They've gone at the end of a season, which is the right thing to do if you're going to move.
Of course.
So fair enough and good luck to them. But it's very, very difficult to replace them.
The standout one, obviously, is Okoji, that your man who scored so many of your goals. He's gone to Aldershot, hasn't he?
I mean, well, I think at the end of season dinner, not just the end of last season, the season before, I challenged him because he was a bit of a soft kid. I mean, 6'5" and an absolute lump, and but soft.
Right.
Soft as a... Okay. Almost as a person, which is not a bad trait, but it is when you play up front and you want to score goals. You need to be a little bit tough. And I challenged him to score. I said, I wanted to keep him. And I said to him, the best thing you can do, I said in front of everyone, the best thing you can do is stay here, because I'm going to play him, score 40 goals, and get your move. And he scored 40 goals on the nose and get a proper move, which I call a proper move. And a 2-year professional contract at Aldershot is a proper move. It's not...
Yeah.
Sideways to a club in a division or one division above and be a squad player.
Mm.
It's a proper football club and he's got a chance at a proper career at it. So, you know, I'll take my hat off to him. He done it properly. And we've got one or two around us now who also could have done a league up or a couple of leagues up. But we have the same plan with them. And it's a case of knuckle down here, do your bit and get your move.
Just a note on last season. The Casuals ended it on fire, winning 10 of their final 11 league games, scoring 31 goals in the process to finish 4th in the table, landing them a playoff place. In the playoff semi-final, they beat Greenwich Borough 4-3 away from home, despite losing a man to a red card in the 20th minute and despite Greenwich being one of those teams known for their ability to spend money. And then after dominating the playoff final but failing to score, promotion was ultimately denied only on penalties. Club stalwart Dave Hodges, in his 300th appearance for the club, cruelly had his spot kick saved by a goalkeeper in superhuman form. And Dorking Wanderers, rather than Corinthian Casuals, progressed to the Bostic League Premier Division, the 7th tier in English football. All despite what Dorking manager Mark White acknowledged was Casuals' complete domination of the game. Among the 967 spectators there, by the way, was Danilo Augusto, a Sao Paulo resident who had made the 12,000-mile round trip to Dorking specifically to attend. Anyway, James Bracken's boys had in fact had such a strong season that some even questioned maybe they were secretly paying their players.
no one can ever say to me, yeah, but it's easy.
Yeah.
You cannot say it to me. And people alluded to the thing, we might have a budget last year. You know, people within our league, managers who I had respect for, started piping up with, there's no way they don't pay. I take it half as a compliment, but also half at a, no, I am doing it on no budget.
Yeah.
And if you think, you know, why don't you have a go? You know, that's what I would say, all these people that think that they're doing well and big money, like, come and run a team on nothing.
Try it. Yeah.
And just see quite how hard it is.
Bracken, by the way, won the Ryman League Division 1 South Manager of the Month award on 3 separate occasions over the course of the season. And with this award sponsored by Nicholas Rowe Tailors, the prize for winning it each time is a tailor-made suit. And so James generously had suits made up for his assistant managers Dan Pringle and Joe Davies, as well as for himself. One must imagine they're the best-dressed management team in the whole Bostic League system now. Anyway, being oblivious to all this action at the time, I thought it was worth catching up with someone who witnessed this spectacular climax firsthand, gaining the perspective of both a fan and a club volunteer on last season and expectations for the upcoming year.
My connection to the club, well, the name is Paul, and my connection to the club is various things on a volunteer basis.
Yeah.
I help out with the reserves and the academy and take photographs when the main man isn't here.
Yeah. And you run the megastore as well?
I sort of run the megastore, yeah. We try and make a few bob in there.
At this point, I should point out that the naming of the Corinthian Casuals megastore comes with tongue somewhat lodged in cheek. It is quite literally a shed, which is difficult to accommodate more than 2 people. Anyway, back to Paul.
So let me ask you about last season. It was a pretty impressive achievement, wasn't it?
It was a very impressive achievement, you know, given the status of the club, not paying people, etc. It's a great credit to James and the lads, really, for how well they did. And they were very unlucky not to get promoted, I think, in the end.
Yeah, so run me through that playoff final.
No. Well, it was one of those days where we could have played for 3 weeks and not scored because their goalkeeper got in the way of everything. He was fantastic. We created chances but couldn't put them away.
Yeah.
And it went to penalties, and, you know, penalties, we all know, are a bit of a lottery.
I think even the opposition manager acknowledged that.
He did. Yeah, he's a very fair man in that respect, actually. He did say that he didn't necessarily deserve to win, shall we say. But, yeah.
But promotion's the aim again this season?
Yeah. James has promised promotion, I think. So, but, you know, we've had a lot of changes in the makeup of the team this year.
Yeah.
A few have moved on, a few have come in.
I mean, it is a huge challenge, isn't it, for James, with sort of, you know, the lack of resources.
It's a massive challenge to keep players, because if teams come in and offer your player £100 a game to go and play for them, then some will stay, but some will go, and you can't blame them.
They're
young lads; they've got a living to make, mortgages to pay, and so on. So you can't really blame them.
Perhaps on the back of this fine season, and much to manager James Bracken's bemusement, the bookies have put Corinthian Casuals among their favourites for promotion in 2017-18.
I obviously saw the odds for winning the league this year, and we're joint second, which in some ways is absolutely scandalous. There's a lot of talk about people spending a lot of money and having a real go, and I've heard every other manager say, you know, we're going for promotion this year.
Mm.
And my view is, obviously, my budget ain't changed. I've got the same as I had the last two.
Yeah.
But my view is, why didn't you try and win it last year?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you've got an extra £300 a week this year. Like, you're having a throw at it. But that's the way they think.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, is the way that every manager thinks.
Yeah.
And maybe in the real world, outside of what I'm trying to do, perhaps that is how it works.
Mm.
You know, usually the team with the bigger budgets are at the top of the league. And the teams with the lower budgets are at the bottom of the league. That is the way it is.
Quite often works that way.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
You know, and it's logical and it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of teams seem to think they're going to be up there. And to be honest, I see that we're down as second favourites, and I'm struggling with that. Like I said, to lose 9 players, have no resources to replace them. To say that we're second favourites with all the teams that are in this league and all the budgets and the money that flies around, for me, it's ludicrous.
And so we are underway in 2017-18, and Casuals continue to defy their lack of resource in the division. At the time of recording, they sit third after 11 games. Whether Bracken's boys can maintain this form and emulate last season's heroics, it remains to be seen, but we're going to be there to find out, all while questioning what it is to be an amateur non-league side in the world of modern football. championing the voluntary heroes who ensure this club's survival year in, year out, and placing it all into the context of the club's fascinating history, and asking, can we make the inhabitants of Tolworth Broadway aware of their link to Brazil? Next time on Broadway to Brazil, we speak with former Corinthian Casuals player, non-league football coach, and Sky Sports commentating legend, the voice of football, that is, Martin Tyler.
I'm proud of the term the Corinthian spirit resonates with me, that I got taught a lot of good values at Corinthian Casuals. So to have been a part of it, yeah, I can remember quite a lot of the games, and I'm proud to have made a tiny contribution to Corinthian Casuals, and it certainly helped me in my work, because I was well coached and learnt a lot about the game.
And we hear from two cricketing legends with a strong association with the Casuals, Mickey and Alex Stewart.
But in playing what was called senior amateur football, which was hypocritical because the majority of them got backhanders and brown envelopes, but never at a club such as Corinthian Casuals, which was strictly amateur.
There's plenty of clubs around the country, around the world, that are full of volunteers. But this one, because it's a true amateur club in a semi-professional business, that's what makes it unique. And the fact that it's competitive. You know, they don't just turn up, make the numbers up, get beat and go home.
Broadway to Brazil is presented, written and co-produced by me, Yarek Zaba. Brent Davies is co-producer, with Tony Banks and Dominic Bliss, our reporters in the field. With huge thanks to John Forrest and everyone at Corinthian Casuals Football Club, to the Seething community for use of the Museum of Futures, and to Robin Hutchinson, the visionary who makes these things happen. Broadway to Brazil is a Creative Brain media production. For more of our output, check out theus100.com.